This is Make It Plain.
M-I-P. With Masamela Mafumo.
Mark Thompson.
All right, Cheryl Cashin. I want to remind you of her website, CherylCashin.com. S-H-E-R-Y-L-L. CherylCashin.com. The author of The Agitator's Daughter. Her great-great-grandfather, a legislator in Alabama, no less. It is Thursday, and as you know, we check in every Thursday with BlackCommentator.com. Joining us now, executive editor Bill Fletcher. Bill, how are you, friend?
I'm doing well, bro. How are you?
I'm good, man. So this week, no surprise, but you go more extensively on record in support of an endorsement of Barack Obama.
Absolutely. I feel that this is not a time to engage in symbolic politics of protest, that this is a pivotal moment, and that what's at stake is extremely serious. And I remain worried. I'm not paying any attention to the polls. Frankly, bro, I think that there are segments of the electorate that are, let's say, unreliable when it comes to a black candidate, and so we just don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
It just seemed to me that the black vote, the Latino vote, the Asian vote, Native American, this is central, a massive turnout by us, in addition to, you know, white supporters of Obama, no question.
You acknowledge that you and on behalf of the website BlackCommentator.com, there are some reservations. This is support with reservations. Is that an accurate way?
Critical support. I mean, see, here's the thing. One doesn't have to agree with Obama on everything. One has to decide, will an Obama presidency open up a certain door that needs to be opened up that we progressive folks can push through and move some very, very significant demands and reforms? That's, I think, what's at stake. But clearly, I have differences with Obama. I've had differences with him on elements, key elements of U.S. foreign policy. I think that he's too weak on health care, that we need single-payer health care. I think it's important to point these things out. I do not look at him as a second coming, and I think that those people that are supporters of his that are uncritical are making a big mistake, because there will be letdowns.
Mm-hmm.
There will be points when we seriously disagree with him, and we have to be prepared to step forward and say, look, we don't agree with this, but I keep coming back to what's at stake right now and what the McCain-Palin candidacy represents.
And you deal with that point well, too, folks. Bill Fletcher's piece, of course, in BlackCommentator.com, this week's issue. Be sure to check it out, down to the wire, the cover story, The African World. That's another strong argument you make in the piece, too, Bill. I noticed that the alternative, Lord have mercy, is totally unacceptable.
I think that it is. I mean, part of what I'm trying to raise in the piece is that we have to understand that the McCain-Palin candidacy is a coalition within the right,
mm-hmm.
between the corporate right represented by McCain and right-wing populists represented by Palin. And that within the Palin camp, her whole right-wing populism, which borders on a kind of quasi-fascist element, and I don't use that term very, very frequently, there is what I think is best described as irrationalism.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's you're looking at her approach to global warming or her mythologizing the small town, which is an existence that is not where the majority of people in the United States reside. It's a very different reality. It's like back to the 19th century. So there's this complete, or whether it's her attitude towards so-called creationism. Again, this step away from science, this step away from attempting to ascertain facts and more moving based on emotion and myth. This is the sort of thing that could be a disaster for us.
Bill Fletcher Jr., the executive editor of BlackCommentator.com. Of course, Black Commentator joins us weekly here on Make It Plain. Bill, let me say this. Your column, your space in Black Commentator, executive editor, is called The African World,
mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, I always acknowledge is a term that really, if it was not coined, was popularized by my mentor, Dr. John Henry Clark. In his seminal work. Earlier this week on our Africa segment, we spoke to someone representing the Resist AFRICOM movement, and this whole notion of militarization of Africa, this AFRICOM piece. And you and I haven't talked about that. I'm not quite sure. I can imagine what your position is on it. I'm sure you have some reservations about that, too. But you know, it's very interesting that now we are about to elect, in the simplest terms, the first Black president. But more than that, this is a president who is a part of the African world. His father was a Kenyan.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you talk about that critical piece and knowing how elated the African world is over this, I mean, people like you, who's always been involved in the African world struggle, people like me. I mean, we have another duty as well to see to it that this is a president who is sensitive to the needs of the entire diaspora, up to and including AFRICOM. Don't we have that responsibility?
We have an incredible responsibility. I mean, first of all, I'm not just sort of critical of AFRICOM. I oppose AFRICOM.
Amen. Okay, I thought you would. I didn't want to put words in your mouth. Right.
Absolutely. And I think that all people of goodwill should. Africa does not need further militarization.
Right.
Pure and simple. I think that part of our obligation is to speak about why we support Obama, but also our criticisms of Obama in a number of spheres, including with regard to the African world, particularly the continent, because there is a sentiment on the continent, very strong support, but there's also this tendency towards elevating him in a way that I just don't think is healthy. I just don't.
Yeah.
I do think that an Obama presidency offers a possibility for an altered relationship between the U.S. and Africa. I met with Senator Obama a few years ago when I was running Trans-Africa Forum, and we talked about a number of things. I was part of a group that talked with him, and one of the things that he was very interested in doing was changing the relationship between the U.S. and the Democratic Republic of the Congo,
mm-hmm.
where, as you know, of course, more than 5 million people have been killed as a result of a war. So he's interested in a different kind of relationship, and I think that there's some real possibilities. On the other hand, what we have to realize is that Obama, if he's elected, and we really have to talk in terms of if, will receive incredible pressure from the ruling elite of this country. And there'll be the military pressure, there'll be financial pressure. So we should not assume, for example, that AFRICOM's going to disappear. It might end up getting sugarcoated.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and again, that's the interesting thing because, you know, here we are as Africans, diasporic Africans, Africans in America, whatever we want to call ourselves, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And what do? African Americans and others say, you know, well, we shouldn't criticize Obama. We shouldn't ask for much. And Bill, I'm going to be honest with you, man. Everybody else asks for what they want. You know, nobody. I've never heard of Latinos saying that because there's a Latino politician that they're just going to leave him alone and not raise too many issues with him, let him do his job, I've never heard of Jews doing that.
Right.
You know, what is it about our own pathology or psychosis that We do that, man. You know, and so now, well, Africans in America, don't say nothing. Be cool. Don't ask for too. You know, we can't do that. Just be
right.
Africans in the diaspora. Just be cool. You know, we kind of have to hold our nose and take out because he's got to get. You know, I don't. What is that?
We've been abused. right? And we are so. We've been kept out of power, out of the seats of real power for so long that many of us are just completely elated at even a semblance of power. And I'm glad you raised this because, see, one of the things that I've been talking with folks about is that if Obama's elected, there will be a very strong tendency within our community to be very uncritical.
Yeah, of course, right.
And to resist those who will offer criticism, even constructive criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be important for black progressives to be prepared to speak up. Yes, we can support him and must support him. But when we disagree, when we have our disagreements, when we have our differences, we also have to be prepared to speak up. If we don't get out of Iraq, if we don't get out of Afghanistan, if the U.S. keeps threatening Cuba and Venezuela, we got a problem.
Yeah, yeah. Because Bill, too, isn't this the question? Bill Fletcher Jr. here with BlackCommentator.com, the executive editor. Isn't this the question, Bill? This is the question for all progressives and those of us on the left, black, white, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It is, can any one of us, can Bill be the president, can Mark be the president, and govern differently? Or is the very nature of the office and the institution only leading in one direction? So,
right.
I mean, that this is the test. So now you elect an African-American. You elect the first person of color, the first so-called minority.
Mm-hmm.
Then if he ends up being just like anybody else,
right?
Even Clinton, who on his best days, there were contradictions. The nature of that governing position, there are some contradictions. So, I mean, this is the real, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is the real test, isn't it? And if it doesn't, if it is not transformative truly, then, I mean, what are we supposed to do? Just sit down and be quiet or what? I mean, that's crazy.
Oh, no, absolutely. I absolutely agree with you. But, you know, part of what's going to happen is that people, and this is something that I warned about early on in this race.
Right.
Which is that people look at Obama, and they see what they want to see. They don't necessarily see what's there.
Right.
So therefore, once elected, there will be a tendency for people to put all of their hopes and aspirations into this one guy. It's a real setup. And I think that what we progressive folks are going to have to do is not so much putting our hopes in him, but putting the pressure in terms of what needs to be done.
Right.
You know, in other words, we need to make him be the leader that is needed at this moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bill Fletcher, Black Com. You know, I'd even make a recommendation, Bill, because this is the one thing that has not happened, and maybe your publication is most qualified to do it. You know, we there's even this kind of joke going around. I'm sure you've seen it, this email going around, saying what is proper etiquette for African Americans on Wednesday, November 5th, if Obama wins on Tuesday, November 4th, not to, you know, celebrate too much and all that. But perhaps there ought to be an etiquette or some guidelines for your term, and I like it. I hope you don't mind me using it. Critical support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does that mean? Because, I mean, this is uncharted territory for us.
That's right.
And, I mean, let's face it, that's what we've done. I mean, there have been situations where, I mean, whenever there's been a first, you know, it's always been, let's support this as the first and hold back the criticism. So what happened with Jackie Robinson? Well,
right.
He was the first. The decision was Jackie, and it seems like we all tend to operate from that paradigm. He was told you cannot fight back. You cannot resist. You cannot show anything. You got to do that to make this happen. So he took it all. We took it all. And it seems that has become, you know, the norm, the standard. But this is different. I mean, I love Jackie Robinson. I'm an old baseball player, but this is the presidency.
That's right.
You know, this is a little more serious.
That's right. That's right. And if Obama is elected, that will be precisely what I will want to write about.
Yeah, I would recommend you do that. I mean, yeah. I think you can do that. I think that somebody needs to do that. What is, you know, what are the steps? What are the guidelines? You know, that we as African Americans, anybody on the left, anybody progressive, ought to use. Because my position is, and I've shared this with you before,
mm-hmm.
We must rebuild our left progressive mass movement, our black movement, whatever,
mm-hmm.
All working in a real sense. I think the best way to describe it, we ought to rebuild the movement that Dr. King didn't finish.
Right.
And that was when, as you well know, the politicians responded to the movement. It wasn't the other way around.
That's
it
right.
was, you know, boom, here's the movement. What are you going to do?
Right.
And it kept the politicians on their toes. And some would even admit help them. I mean, without the movement, Lyndon Johnson, even if he wanted to, couldn't get the Civil Rights Act and Voting Rights Act passed.
Right.
So the movement brings on another part of that. And I think that's what's critical. Bill Fletcher Jr. here with us, the executive editor of blackcommentator.com, showing critical support for Barack Obama and also pointing out just how unfathomable it would be for there to be a McCain Palin administration.
Mm-hmm.
And McCain, Bill, let's face it, McCain wins. We're pretty much looking at Palin being the president, considering his age.
Oh, yeah.
His erratic nature, all of that, aren't we?
Absolutely.
And I mean, and yeah. She's already proven that she's, as they say, gone off the reservation and has no problem doing her own thing.
Right. I mean, this is a big problem between the two of them right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, folks, blackcommentator.com. We want to get a couple of calls in 866-99-SIRIUS, 866-997-4748. The cover story this week, it's down to The Wire, and you all can read it and see for yourselves. Let me just share something with you from the piece. An Obama victory would not represent the fundamental defeat of the political right. It would represent a major setback for them. They will quickly maneuver to recoup, but despite this, there will be some breathing room in which we can raise issues about economic justice, racial justice, gender justice, the environment and war. We can work at a feverish pace to further destabilize the political right and work toward the actual development of a progressive bloc. That's what we're talking about, folks, that goes well beyond the objectives and realities of an Obama presidency. So, of course, Bill, our work should go forward even on November 5th.
Absolutely. Well, actually, I'll give them till November 6th.
Get a day of celebration, right?
Day of celebration, bro. Party hardy.
That's
then
right.
Afterwards, it's back to the trenches.
Yeah, indeed. Let's get a quick call to an 866-99-SIRIUS. Joe's in Atlanta. Joe, God bless you. You're on the air with Bill Fletcher Jr. Go right ahead, man.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Fine. How you feel? Good.
All right. Hey, I just wanted to comment that I really don't believe that black people, or anybody for that matter, wants people to just shut up and you know, don't hold Obama accountable for anything. But I think that we all know that if Obama starts talking about what he's going to do for black people or something like that, it's over. It would be a catastrophe. He wouldn't even get in office. The campaign would be over.
Well, let me let Bill respond first, and then I'll respond. Bill, go right ahead.
I feel like we needed Obama, frankly, to talk about race more than he did. And part of the reason is this, and this may sound very strange, but you see, the problem is, if you don't talk at all about race, and we're in the United States, we're not in Norway, if you don't talk about race, part of the problem is that it always has a funny way of coming and biting you in your rear end.
Right.
And so one of the things that we're going to face is this. If we want, see, the political right, if Obama's elected, the political right is going to declare a victory over racism forever. That there is no more racism. So if we want a president to help to take the lead in the continuing struggle, right, if he hasn't been talking about race, he's coming at this from a disadvantage. So while I support him, I'm going to vote for him, I'm encouraging people to vote for him, but I'm just saying you've got to keep in mind what the reality is of the United States when it comes to race.
Can I comment real quick?
Go ahead.
One of the things two things real quick, and I'll let you is that it would be better for him to have the conversation about race as the president instead of before he gets in office.
Well, Joe, I don't think about saying that, Joe. I mean, nobody's being that. Joe, wait a minute. Slow down. That's silly. Nobody's saying that. The election's in 5 days. It's too late for there to be a major shift in the campaign strategy. That's not what we're talking about. The assumption is that if and when he is elected, all right, then, you know, what is it going to be? And it's not just about race for race's sake. That's not what Bill's suggesting. That's not what I'm suggesting. But there are issues that touch us. I was watching that new show, which is okay, on Comedy Central last night, David Alan Greer. And they had a panel discussion, Chocolate News. I don't know if you saw Bill. But they had a panel discussion. But a lot of times the truth is told in jest. And the white commentator was advocating McCain because McCain was a prisoner of war. And you know what David Alan Greer said? He said, well, if that qualifies you to be the president, there are almost 2.5 million black men that are qualified to be the president because they're incarcerated. They're in prison. And you could even categorize that to some extent, you know, being POWs, because we know they're in prison because of discrimination. Most of them are there for not. So what I'm saying is, you mean to tell me that we're going, now, let me be honest, Joe, you're going to sit by. I'm not saying this would happen, but suppose Barack Obama's put in a position where he can't even address, as the first black president, the disproportionate black male incarceration. Are we saying we're going to just let that go?
No. He's already talked about that. And I'm not saying that he shouldn't talk about it more. I'm saying he's saying these things, but if he could, if he pounces on it in the campaign leading up to the election, man, come on. You know what
I'm saying? Joe, I just said that's not what we're talking about. We're assuming he's the president, Joe.
I just understand why, but see,
it's this defensiveness that frustrates me. Bill, the old term that used to be used in the movement was being an apologist.
Right.
Thank you, Joe. Bill, explain to the audience what it is to be an apologist.
Yeah, I mean, basically, just where you are making excuses for somebody, and for things that they're doing that are a real problem. That's what it comes down to. And I guess part of what we're saying here is this. One is that Senator Obama's failure to talk much about race during a campaign may, in fact, come back to haunt him. Second, we need him, once elected, to continue to use the power of the presidency to point out to this country that race and racism are not a thing of the past, that we're dealing with a contemporary reality. And I'm just saying that I am sure that Fox News will, after they've denounced him, they will announce that racism is no longer a problem in the United States, and therefore we don't need affirmative action.
Well, Bill O'Reilly's already done it. I mean, he's basically said if he's president, the issue of racial issues can't come up anymore. Bill O'Reilly has said that.
Right.
So, I mean, they're going to spin this to a win-win for themselves. As much as they can. Tammy's in Jacksonville. Tammy, God bless you. Go right ahead.
Good evening. How are you?
Well,
I'm almost agreeing with the gentleman, but the difference that I feel is being black, and we all know for how many years when you start screaming and hollering about things that have been done wrong to you, everyone says, it's not an issue, and they pretty much smother you. So I think his idea of not bringing up much during the campaign was smart. And once he's president, why do we need to say black? He still just needs to get the job done. So instead of talking the talk about being incarcerated, the disproportionate amount of black people in jail, he just needs to fix it. And if he doesn't say, there's more black people in jail, you know what's going to happen. They're going to come and just eliminate that whole issue. But if he just says, okay, there's individuals in jail, who are incarcerated incorrectly, and I'm going to make a change about it, it gets done. The white America can't complain about it. The people on Fox, they're going to say what they're going to say. But if you say black and spew black, that's when they get upset. And that's, we need
okay,
to
Tammy, has he spewed black during the campaign?
No, he has not.
Haven't they not still attacked him for being black?
But has it stuck? Not as much as it should have, because look where the look at the polls.
Yeah, it's tightening up. It's getting closer. And the breaking news I'm going to share with you in a minute is that a 527 has just purchased national ad buys on every network to show Jeremiah Wright from tonight through Tuesday. Nothing but Jeremiah Wright ads.
Okay, and you're right. But again, that is the black angle that white America and the Republican Party, they use to constantly give those images. And I know I hear what you're saying about being an apologist, but we got to realize we've been doing this routine for how many years, and we have not gotten much change. So perhaps,
oh, really?
I mean, not that we haven't. We have come a long way. But as soon as we scream or talk or say black or bring up black issues, the other side beat us down. But when we
would Barack Obama be in the position he's in if not for the civil rights movement?
Of course not. Me having my job and living where I live would not be because of the civil rights.
So how can you say we haven't gotten any gains from that?
I didn't say that. I'm saying as we are living now. The politicians and the people that are playing the game now are not the people that were back then when I say white America. I just is how I feel. I don't feel white America in the 50s, 60s, and the 70s are the same individuals that they are now. They're slicker, they're bolder, they're more confrontational, and they just don't care. They'll look you in the face and just change the rules.
Bill, go ahead and chime in.
See, I think that the problem is that the difficulties and challenges and that we face as black folks have to at some point be addressed very explicitly. And it's not that it's actually not just black folks. We're dealing with the way that race plays itself out in the United States. So, for example, it's not just that the number of black men that are in prison. It's also that health care for black people is always inferior to white people at every income level. It's always inferior. So the question then is, what should we ask of President Obama? Do we talk about that the fact that there is a racial differential in health care? What about housing? What about, you know, issues of jobs? You see, the problem is when you don't talk about the issue of race, it always figures a way to come back. I mean,
right.
This thing that you were just saying, Mark, about this 527, the problem, I mean, the McCain campaign is clearly, they're clearly out to scare white people. That's their whole plank. And they're afraid of what this black man will do once in office. So even when he's not talking about race, it still comes up and hits us.
Yeah, yeah, good point. Tammy, thank you for your call. Bill, you got a minute?
Yeah.
I'm going to take a break. I want you to hear this ad. I'm going to play it for you in the audience.
Okay.
And again, I think that this is a result of a lot of these issues not being discussed. Bill Fletcher Jr. is with us, blackcommentator.com. This is Serious Left 146 MIP.
Folks, I'll cut your tax.
Campaign ads.
Saving homes, who says the economy's bad?
Campaign ads. Campaign ads.
Bill Fletcher Jr. here with us of BlackCommentator.com. That's our little campaign ad jingle, Bill. This is the National Republican Trust. This is going to be airing nationally. It's a $1 million ad buy. All the major networks have picked it up. It's going to be airing through Tuesday, folks. Take a listen. Well, I'm sorry. That's my fault. Here you go.
Your prison.
For 20 years, Barack Obama followed a preacher of hate and said nothing is right raged against our country.
Not God bless America. God damn America.
U.S. of KKKA.
He built his power base in Wright's church. Wright was his mentor, advisor, and close friend. For 20 years, Obama never complained until he ran for president. Barack Obama, too radical, too risky. The National Republican Trust PAC is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
All right, now that's one, the National Republican Trust. Here's another one from another organization called Let Freedom Ring. This is also going to be a national ad buy. Take a look.
Senator Obama, as a black American, I long for the day that we will see a black president in the White House. That day will truly be a sign of real change. But a wise man once said that we should judge people not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. So while that day will be a source of pride, my vote will not be based on race. I will heed that wise man. So, Senator, this is not that time.
That is from...
Paid for by Let Freedom Ring, which is responsible for the content of this ad.
Bill, your reaction to both of those?
Well, the second ad is pointless and worthless and will carry no weight. The first ad is scary. And I think that it will, for some of those undecided voters, they're white undecided voters, that will be the kind of ammunition. And I think that that's exactly what the, what those right wingers are hoping. That'll be the ammunition that they'll need, or the excuse that they'll need, to basically say, well, we really don't know enough about this guy.
You know,
and I think that I don't know. I understand that there's a Palin ad that the Obama campaign has developed. But, you know, look, I mean, there's nothing we can do about it. It is what it is, as the kids say.
866-99 Sirius, the cover story, blackcommentator.com. Executive editor Bill Fletcher Jr. with us, the African world, down to the wire. Critical support. Those words go together, folk, as he shares with regards to Barack Obama. Let me get some other reactions.
Sure.
Wes is in Oklahoma. Wes, God bless you. Go right ahead.
Yeah, but first of all, I just want to say that neither one of us got an application whenever we was born and said, hey, I want to be, you know, born in a certain state. I want to be born to a certain type of parents, rich, poor, whatever. Correct?
Correct.
Okay. So my point is something my college professor kind of brought out to me. It said basically, well, once you acknowledge race, that's when racism starts.
No, we didn't ask to be enslaved and brought over here in chains either.
No, I'm talking about...
No, that's true. Is that not true? You answer my question. Is it not true? We didn't ask to be enslaved and brought over here in chains, correct?
I agree. And I didn't ask to be blind either. So, you know, that's my point.
What I want you to do is... Relate blindness to our enslavement. And I'll be quiet. You break that down for us. How is blindness related to enslavement? How is that the same thing?
Okay, well, hold on a second.
It wasn't random. You were blind. That's too unfortunate. But it wasn't just randomly that we were enslaved, Wes.
Okay, I understand that. I understand what.
No, you don't understand it because you're going to compare it to blindness.
No,
that's
no,
not.
No.
It's not the same thing.
But just let me finish my sentence here, bro. What I'm trying to say is, through I guess my condition, I have found that whenever I just treat people as people.
Okay, Wes, you know, Wes, I don't have a lot of time. Let me explain something to you, Wes. You suffer from a physical challenge because of the civil rights movement. Because of us standing up for our rights, there was something that was passed, just like the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act, called the Americans with Disabilities Act. So there's certain things, certain victories, even for those of you who are physically challenged, that were won because people stand up for their rights. You cannot suggest that people just sit down and be
quiet, just, you know, live this random willingness. Well, you know, this is how it is. I got accepted. And if I bring it up, it's racist for even bringing it up. That doesn't make any sense. Wouldn't you agree, Bill?
No, absolutely. I just want to hear where this guy's going.
Well, he's gone now because
Okay.
Yeah, he's gone. William.
Because, you see, here's one of the things, Mark. What keeps coming up is when folks say by talking about race,
right.
And I even hear black folks say this, right?
Right.
By talking about race, we're laying the groundwork for racism and for division. And I think what people have to understand is you don't have to talk about race. Race exists as a political reality in the United States.
Right.
It doesn't exist as a scientific category, right, because we're all Africans. But it exists politically. And so if you don't name the problem, you can't cure it. I mean, it's like any disease.
Right. That's right. You have to name it. You have to confront it. You have to deal with it. And you have to admit that it's a problem.
Exactly.
William's in Atlanta. William, God bless you. Go right ahead.
Hey, peace and love. Well, first of all, my wife and I voted for Barack Obama, but I'm going to be honest with you. I've got some serious issues with the brother. I'm not going to lie. I mean, the night that he was, he accepted the nomination, and he didn't even, it was very disrespectful to me when he didn't even mention Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s name. Okay, I mean, he didn't even say his name. He just said a preacher from Georgia. And that right there was very disrespectful to me, okay? Mm. I'm not sure about anybody else, but I was looking for that name to come out because it was a very powerful statement if he would have said his name. And I think that it was another show that said, or maybe it was Cornel West that said that he was tired of us being nameless.
Yeah.
Okay, especially our heroes. But, you know, another thing, too, is that I'm hoping that at some point Barack Obama does wake up because he has run a raceless campaign, which is great and everything like that, but he's taken for granted our vote, without a doubt. I'm supporting him. I mean,
well, that's what all Democratic nominees do, though, William, to be honest with you.
And that's my point. and that's my point. It's been no different. They always take our vote for granted. But in all actuality, we are a swing group.
Yeah.
I mean, I
spent
over 2.5 hours.
Yeah,
for
it's critical.
Okay,
it's critical.
But I do appreciate your time. Okay?
Thank you. Appreciate it. Let me get one more in because I know Bill's got to go. James in Philadelphia. James, real quick for me. God bless you.
Hey, Mark, how you doing, man? Listen, I just want to say, Bill Fletcher, I'm a big fan of yours. And Bill, we're frustrated.
Thank you.
I just wish that your voice could be heard on some of these morning syndicated black talk shows. And that's why I think you need to be heard. The first two callers, Joe and Tammy, frustrated me so much. I don't know what Joe heard y'all saying. I mean, it was ridiculous for him to say that y'all, nobody was talking about him changing his campaign 5 days before the election. And then the sister that called up after him, she frustrated me even more. And as Bill said, when at some time in this country do we stop being an apologist? And see, and this is what concerns me. This is the uphill battle, Bill, that we're going to have as progressives, even trying to suggest that Obama raised, you know, issues. I mean, her reasoning I found just ridiculous. I mean, I you could just hear in her voice that she just didn't want to deal with Obama bringing up any critical issues. I mean, if he brings up, you know, he can fix the problem, but not talk about black. But it was ridiculous to hear that caller. I mean, I hate to be so hard on somebody, but I think this is the type of stuff that, you know, we're going to have to deal with. In suggesting that, you know, Obama, once he is elected, you know, address some of our issues. And it just frustrates me so much, that the first two calls just frustrated me so much and frustrates me that brothers like Bill aren't being heard on some of the syndicated talk shows.
Well, let me let Bill respond. Go right ahead, Bill.
You know, I mean, this brother made my evening. And I would actually love to do just that. And I think you're right, not just me, but the point of view that we're espousing does not get that kind of airtime. And unfortunately, too many of our black stations end up going for the trivial rather than respecting the fact that our people actually want to hear these discussions, right? So I think that's a real problem. I think that we have to realize, though, we shouldn't get upset
when the like the discussion that started initially, because I think, again, we are so both excited about this historical moment and sense the possibilities, and we're dealing with this pressure, this weight that has been on us for 500 years.
I agree with that.
Right? So I think that we just have to be understanding of that.
At the same time,
we've got to remind people this man is not a savior.
Right.
Right? He is a human being, and he can be more than he can be if we mobilize.
Absolutely. Hey, Mark, real quick. I have to call back with you one of the date and get into. I happen to be blind. I'll call up with you sometime and get into race
right.
in the blindness community.
Well, before you go, let me share this with both of you. Two things. One, Dr. King was drafted to run for president. He chose not to. He chose to maintain his position in the movement because he understood even the limitations of that office. That's important to understand. And the way movement really supersedes political office is number one. Number two. Barack Obama has a commercial where he talks about, he opens it up, and he said, John McCain is trying to scare you. He wants you to be afraid. Now, everybody knows why he's saying that. That's why he wants to paint him as a Muslim and Arab and all this other stuff. But we as black people don't need to be afraid either. See, the idea is, if we really believe that we're against fear, we ought not be afraid to raise issues that are relevant to us and to others,
right.
by extension, nor should we be afraid to raise them with him. So when people start calling up, like you said, acting all scared, oh, we can't do it. I mean, that is fear.
Exactly.
All right. So that and the presence of fear is the absence of love. James, thank you, man. Thank you for your call. Don't be a stranger. Good to hear from you again. Bill Fletcher, Jr., executive editor of BlackCommentator.com. My friend, always a pleasure to talk to you, Bill.
Always.
Discussion. And listen, man, I'm giving you that assignment, doctor. Guidelines for critical support.
If he's elected, brother, I promise you it'll be the first thing I write.
Good. Okay. We'll talk.
All right.
Okay, buddy. Take care of yourself.
Bye.